Hello and welcome. I'm Rofiwa Madzena. Entrepreneurship is tough. It takes grit and a willingness to move on from 1,000 no's, because those no's will yield one yes, and that one yes can grow the business and build the economy, because South Africa banks on business and business banks on us. My guest today is Sean Barber, and he's the founder of Rockets. Sean, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You have to reap the rewards of your hard work at some stage, right, as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal.
That's the ultimate goal indeed. And so that's a return on investment. Talk us through what exactly that is.
Your ROI, return on investment, is... you can look at it from the eyes of an investor, and the rate that they use, or the unit of measurement, is exactly that. It's interest. It's a rate. You know, how much interest, or what's my rate of return per annum? If it's going to be 20%, okay, I invest X and I'm going to get 20% per annum. An ROI for an entrepreneur, again, this is my personal opinion, so any entrepreneur out there, no offense, I look at it in terms of time. My ROI, I see, how long will it take me to make my money back from an opportunity that I move on, you know, before I can get into the profit waters. So it's length of time, and time is months or years. So your ROI, like, how, what is my palatable time period for me before my money that I can, you know, sustain, or I can put up with before my money comes back in?
And surely it doesn't come without risk. What would some of those be?
You know, for an entrepreneur, risk is your bedfellow. It's your most critical friend, and it's a fickle friend. You know, to be an entrepreneur, you need to love risk, but a lot of entrepreneurs will love risk too much, and they will make mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen, failures are going to happen. There's no entrepreneur out there who, I promise you, if an entrepreneur says to you he hasn't incurred failure, he's lying. Okay, everybody incurs failure. You learn the most as an entrepreneur from your failures. Risk leads to failures. You just need to hope that your risk that you've sustained is not going to be so big that it derails your whole entrepreneurial career. So there is, I mean, risk and reward, return on investment, it's all intrinsically linked. You can't have one without the other. An investor, like I said, will look at rate, you know, rate of return, and that's going to be a percentage. An entrepreneur will look at time. What is my ROI? What is my price earnings? You know, how long will it take me to make my money back before I'm into profit waters, before I go from red to black?
And I'm glad you bring up price earnings, because I want us to break down what exactly a price to earnings ratio is, and really how it's used to measure ROI or anything else that is showing a growth in a business.
Well, I mean, your price to earnings is your PE ratio. Now, your PE ratio is a factor, you know, and for a factor, you need something divided by something else. So my price earnings is, what did I pay for, and what earnings does that generate? So the amount that I paid for it divided by its earnings is going to give you a factor. That is your PE ratio. Now, your palatable factor is based on two things. What is the industry norm for that factor? In hospitality, generally, you use a PE of 30, and that's the time factor is done in months. So 30 is 2.5 years. 30 months, 2.5 years. So that's the industry norm. The second palatable PE is what you yourself, as an entrepreneur, will tolerate. You know what I mean? So, like, in terms of my risk, how long will it take me to pay my money back? And the bigger the risk, the more variation there's going to be in there. It could be 1 year, it could be 10 years, you know what I mean? It's that risk factor will make that PE ratio very volatile for you as an entrepreneur. You know, so it's that knowing your PE ratio is critical. It's so massively important for an entrepreneur to know that PE ratio, number one, what the industry norm is, and number two, what he's willing to sustain. For me, I won't go longer than 30 months. If it's going to take me longer than 2.5 years to pay something off, I won't do it. If I go into a restaurant, I'll do 1.5 to 2 in terms of years, or I'll do 18 months to 24 months. So 1.5 years to 2 years. If I can't pay it off in 2 years, I don't move.
Right. And then when we do get investment back into the business, what is the best way? Well, how is the best way to spend it? A lot of entrepreneurs aren't a fay with managing finances or managing capital. So you'll find a lot of them go into acquiring and growing. Others could pay off debt. But what would you say is the best way to spend those returns that you are getting?
Look, there's so many important aspects on how to dispense your cash, you know, both from your investment funds that you accumulate and acquire, or the profit you make. You need to be sure that you're spending on these critical factors. Number one, you need to pay back the people that have lent you the money. Don't default on that. You need to pay rent or bonds. You need to pay salaries. You need to pay suppliers. Those four, okay? Investor payments, rent or bond, salaries, suppliers. Don't ever forget those four. If you're spending on things that don't go into those four categories, you are wasting your money. Okay. Don't buy the fancy car. Don't do the ego spend, the emotional spend. Don't do that. That doesn't make you money. Do that after you pay yourself dividends. Dividends are what you declare after everybody else has been paid. Okay. Or buy it with the salary that you pay yourself. Don't use your company funds to that are meant for paying those four areas, or your resources for future expansion. Don't spend that on something that is not directly going to make you money. Just don't do it.
Thank you so much for your time. Entrepreneurship takes dedication and perseverance. It's understanding that you are creating a solution to a problem in your surroundings. I hope you've gotten the tools you need to build a business that South Africa can bank on. I'm Ropa Madzena, and I'll see you next time. Bank on it. Hello and welcome. I'm Rofio Madzena. Entrepreneurship is tough. It takes grit and a willingness to move on from a thousand no's, because those no's will yield one yes, and that one yes can grow the business and build the economy, because South Africa banks on business and business banks on us. My guest today is Sean Barber, and he's the founder of Rockets. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
A lot of business owners, when they reach a certain point, they want to diversify the business. Mm. How do you diversify a business but remain within the brand you've created and the offering that your customers have come to trust?
Your diversification primarily needs to be within your strategic end goal. Okay, so your strategic end goal will be, what do I see my brand being in the next 1, 3, 5, 10 years? That's your strategic end goal. If you look, we've just had the Olympics. Okay, so if you have an analogy, your hammer throw, where the guys spin it around their head and they release it, and they've got a trajectory that's got that angle in to go into. That is where your strategic vision for your brand should be. It should incorporate certain facets, certain avenues that are within brand. You don't want that hammer ball or throw to go directly that way, because it will confuse your customer base too much, and it will end up doing your brand a disservice. It will dilute your brand. So while you pivot and you go in different avenues, it's got to be within your brand mandate. It's got to be within your brand vision. It mustn't confuse your customer base.
That's a very tough thing, because you give yourself a scope as a brand to work on various elements you think will grow the business. Mm. And then there's that one dimensional element. Talk us through the brand and that one dimensional element, which you've described as a chain.
Well, look, that one-dimensional element will more than likely be the original element of your brand, you know. And if that one-dimensional element is so strong and it's so profitable, you and I'm not saying you're running a risk, because if it's so profitable, you're doing something right. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Stick to what you're doing. That one-dimensional element, I think, if you always do that, and again, it's my personal opinion, if you expand on that line, you are a chain. You are not a brand. A brand encompasses different things. Mm. Okay. So if you're always opening the same thing, if you've got one restaurant, same name, and you've got 50 of them, you're not a brand. You know, and no disrespect intended to the restaurants out there that there are 50 and they all have the same name. They are a chain. You're a chain, guys. You're not a brand. A brand is off that one-dimensional aspect that you first started on. All right, Rockets, for instance, if I may use my personal experience as an example. That first one-dimensional aspect was food and bev. Okay, that was what we did. That's what we cut our teeth on. And then, you know, 10, 11, 12 years into that, in various forms of that, it's still on the same trajectory. We decided, okay, let's increase our scope. What do we want to do? We want to make this a lifestyle brand. Our ultimate vision, our 10, 15-year vision, is for Rockets to be a lifestyle brand, not purely food and bev. So what is within lifestyle that we can do? Because food and bev, hospitality, is lifestyle. What can we do within lifestyle that is not so varied, or, you know, at 90-degree angles, that it's going to confuse the public or confuse our customer base, that'll dilute us? But what's within that trajectory that we can do that'll take us into the lifestyle aspect? And we chose grooming. Because, I mean, restauranteering, in hospitality, you've got a great set of fundamental risk factors within which to learn, which are, I mean, you've got perishable, desirable, movable goods. If you can learn to run your business and your stock control around those and make those items profitable, you can go into many different aspects. So we decided, okay, cool, we've got the skill set. What can we use that skill set for in something else within brand? And we chose grooming. It's got the same lifestyle element. We can take our design features, everything that we've harnessed and we've got good at, we can slightly shift it. You know, hospitality here, grooming there, both within lifestyle. And that's what we did. We didn't go into car sales or car parts, or, you know, we kept it within brand, but that definitely a brand versus a chain. A chain is one dimensional, one line. A brand is, you got a much bigger apex.
And I'm wondering if the risks of the broader scope, because you've spoken about the risk of running a chain, are they less, the risks in a brand, than they would be if you were running a chain? What do those risks look like?
The risks inherent in a brand and a chain, to a certain extent, are the same in terms of the fact that you're limited in terms of what you can do for closing non-profitable stores. Okay, you're limited, and that's a risk for you as a brand. So if you're trying to create a brand, you need to know that your avenues for closing or shifting businesses within that brand or within that chain, you're very limited. Because people, if they see a closure in a brand or in a chain, they're going to think there might be rust along the whole brand. So your most profitable elements could be tarnished by the fact that you've closed something within your brand or within your chain. That's the same risk, you know. So I would say a brand and a chain, the risk factor for brands and chains are quite similar. If you've got a multifaceted brand, you mitigate your risk to a certain extent. Because you've got other, Rockets is now, we've got Rockets Media, we've got Rockets Man, we've got the Rockets Food and Bev, we've got the Rockets Lolitas. So our brand is multifaceted, that there's various aspects that all support each other. Never keep something within that brand if you're using other aspects to support one that's not making money. You got to cut it, okay? But that's risky for you. So whether you're cutting something within your chain or within your brand, it's going to be risky because it's going to tarnish everything else unless you spin it properly. If you've got standalone businesses, different names, okay, you can cut one without affecting the others, and that's brilliant for you. You've got far more room to move. For instance, if I've got 5 restaurants that are all called different names, all right, in hospitality it's very difficult to swim against your profitability curves. So you've got your curiosity curve in the beginning, which is your steepest, most incredible curve in a business. If you've opened it well and you've got everything right when you open that restaurant, that curiosity curve is going to be steep and your profits are going to be huge. And then you're going to get into your gradual incline, your plateau, your gradual decline, and your drop off. Your drop off generally happens in 3 years if you're a standalone restaurant. So what do you do after 3 years? What do? You change the name, you change the aesthetics, you change the menu. You might want to change your human resource, your front of house managers, make it look completely different. Same owners, same landlord, bang, straight back into a new curiosity curve again. So that mitigates your risk because you know in 3 years, if you are within brand, you don't have that luxury. I can't change the name of that store. I can't suddenly say, oh, okay, I'm sensing the fact that I'm hitting my gradual decline curve. I know my drop off is coming in 6 to 12 months. I better make a plan. You don't have that. You've got to use your brand innovation to flip that curve on its head, innovate within brand, you know, and get your gradual drop off, turn it around, get into a gradual incline again. So it's harder. There's more risk in brand because you are limited with the avenues and the moves you can make.
Right. You know? With those insights that you've just shared, how important is it for an entrepreneur to understand that you don't necessarily have to expand significantly your brand? Contraction is actually okay. You don't. A business is not just about expansion. There are various elements to it, and a brand doesn't necessarily mean global. You know.
Yeah. Look, I mean, expansion and contraction are both critical aspects of building a brand. You know, you can contract in certain areas of your brand and still expand your brand, as bizarre as that sounds. You know, but you need to take the emotion out of it. You need to realize, okay, cool, it's time to expand, it's time to contract. One of the red flags, the biggest red flag when you're building a brand and you have a multifaceted brand, is to not use two things. Is to not use certain businesses within your brand to keep others afloat. Okay, you can use those businesses for initial finance of a new direction. But if that new direction or an existing direction is not making money on its own, you need to cut it. And it's difficult when you're within brand because you might need to cut something that's not making money, and that cut or that closure is going to tarnish your profitable aspect. So you're really limited. But you know, that ability to know when to expand and when to contract is pivotal within building a brand. It really is. But that's what brand building is. That's why there are few brands out there compared to standalone restaurants. You've got millions of standalone restaurants. You don't really have many restaurant chains or brands because it's so difficult to build.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Entrepreneurship takes dedication and perseverance. It's understanding that you are creating a solution to a problem in your surroundings. I hope you've gotten the tools you need to build a business that South Africa can bank on. I'm Ropa Madzena, and I'll see you next time. Bank on it. Hello and welcome. I'm Rofiwa Madzena. Entrepreneurship is tough. It takes grit and a willingness to move on from 1,000 no's, because those no's will yield one yes, and that one yes can grow the business and build the economy, because South Africa banks on business and business banks on us. My guest today is Sean Barber, and he's the founder of Rocket. Sean, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
What are the basic economics of starting up a business? What is it that an entrepreneur or a potential entrepreneur needs to really look at when venturing into entrepreneurship?
Well, there's two big areas you need to look at. And the first is something, if you are truly fanatical about your business, you need to look, take a long, hard look in using these three rules every 6 months max, every 3 months even. The first is, with my business, okay, that I want to start up, do I have three things? Do I have competitive advantage in my service or product or both? Do I do something different or better than the people that are currently in this industry are doing? Number one. Number two, is that service or product going to give me margin? Do I buy it for X and sell it for Y? Is Y minus X enough of a difference for, you know, enough margin per unit? And if it's a massive margin, what is the scalability, number three, that I need? Do I need to sell one unit, two units? If my margin is small, do I need to sell a million units? So those three things, is there competitive advantage in my product or service? Is there margin per unit? And what is the scalability that I need based on that margin per unit to make a successful business out of this thing?
Right, okay. And obviously, just
so that's number one.
Sorry,
that's number
getting
one.
Ahead of myself.
Number two is obviously your resources. How am I going to fund my startup? What am I going to use? Am I going to use, Angel Care Finance if I don't have assets? Angel Care Finance comes at a massive, massive cost. You know, am I going to use leverage-based finance? Am I going to use funds from a family and or friend? You know what I mean? So you need to look at those three rules, and then how am I going to pay for it? That's for any startup.
Right, and of course, innovation would be absolutely key in this regard. You're going to need to be able to maneuver in different ways to ensure that you're able to make those things happen.
Yeah, hugely. I mean, innovation is what? Innovation is competitive advantage. That's what innovation is. And the need for competitive advantage is what spurs innovation. You know, so if you're building a brand or you've got a product you're passionate about, there's going to be people that are going to copy you if you're successful. It happens. It's happened to me. You know, so if you are doing something different, if you are innovating, you need to keep on looking at your product or your service, because I guarantee you that if you're doing it well, there's going to be copycats. They're going to copy either as many aspects of your product or service as they can, or certain aspects. So every 3 to 6 months, return and look at your competitive advantage and say, guys, okay, look, I'm doing things so well, people are copying me. My competitive advantage is diminishing, you know. And there's nothing like the competition of a new kid on the block doing what you do. So you need to innovate. You need to sustain your competitive advantage by always innovating, always doing things better and newer and fresher than your competitors. That's for, you know, that you start asking that question on day zero. You must ask it on day 90, day 120, day 180. Always, always, always be innovating. Always be nurturing your competitive advantage, always.
Right, and with that whole demand and supply element of running a business, it's not just the copycats. There are various other events or situations that could affect that. COVID, for example.
Mm.
I suppose a business can't just shut down if they're hit with those kinds of scenarios. But how do we work through it? Do we have to have reserves? Like, what is it that we can do to protect ourselves?
I mean, I would term COVID as a generational risk factor that comes out every once in 100 years. There's no playbook for surviving COVID. You need, as with any risk that your business is befallen by, you need, I think again, and I'm sorry if I always refer to numbers of things that you need to have in your arsenal. You need to have relationships. Your business needs to have relationships in order to survive a threat like a COVID or like a sustained attack from a competitor. You need relationships. You need relationships with your landlords if you are a lessee. You need relationships with your suppliers if you're going to maybe have a little bit of a hiatus when you pay them. You need relationships with your staff. You need these relationships, landlords, suppliers, staff, I think those are your three, and maybe funders, you know, that they can work with you and move with you, strategize with you to get your business through a difficult period that you're currently in. Again, every business is going to be befallen by difficult periods. It's going to happen. You need relationships, and then you need to be, you know, you need to be smart enough to manage your cash flows, because cash is king. Okay, you need to know, okay, cool, I foresee having a lean spell of 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is. We don't know how long COVID is going to be with us, but I need to know how to manage my cash, because if I curtail my operations or restrict them, when I expand again, I'm going to need cash to do it. You know, I'm going to need cash to sustain my staff, to pay certain people. I'm going to need cash to buy stock to start up again. So you need relationships and you need cash flow management. Mm. Without cash flow management, what are you? You are illiquid. And if you're illiquid, you got no options.
Mm. And then just reflecting on your journey, you've been in the business of entrepreneurship for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you would do differently looking back now? And just a piece of advice you would give to an entrepreneur who is trying to get into the hospitality industry, for example?
The biggest advice that I can give is from the mistakes that I've made. And the mistakes that I've made is I've moved on things that I shouldn't have. And that was down to an emotional decision as opposed to an objective one, okay? And emotion and objectivity can't coexist. They are not bedfellows, they are mutually exclusive. If you're saying to yourself, how can it fail? I don't see how this can fail. That's an emotional reaction. You need to get that out as quick as you can. You need to get your objectivity in place. Your objectivity comes with forecasts, budgets, scenario analysis, due diligence, industry discussions, industry analysis, all culminating in cold, hard facts of forecasts, budgets, worst case scenarios. Build your worst case scenario, guys. Take all the parameters, build a worst case scenario. If your worst case scenario is still profitable, then move. That's the biggest advice that I can give.
And it's the best way to end off this conversation. Thank you so much for
your time.
You're
welcome. Thanks for having me.
Entrepreneurship takes dedication and perseverance. It's understanding that you are creating a solution to a problem in your surroundings. I hope you've gotten the tools you need to build a business that South Africa can bank on. I'm Ropa Madzena, and I'll see you next time. Bank on it. Mm-hmm.